Good morning, everybody. Agud Tabach. When we read Chumash Vayikra, the beginning of Parshas Hamor, the Torah lists off all of the Isuri Kohuna, the women that Kohanim are not permitted to marry. So the first one is a Grusha. If a woman is divorced, so a Kohen is not permitted to marry her, even if it's Grushas Atzma, even if she was married, I'm a Kohen, let's say I'm not. Let's say I would be a Kohen, I divorced my wife, I want to remarry my own wife. So even Grushas Atzma is also prohibited. Apparently, in the days of the Chasam Sofer, this was a debate. Some of the modern reform felt, we understand that a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha who is married to someone else, but maybe he's permitted to marry grusha satsmo. So the one who fought the case out in court, because the law required, the government required, that all marriages had to be performed by a clergyman of the religion that you belong to. So the rabbis didn't want to perform the marriage for the kohen with the grusha satsmo. And the kohen went to the government to complain that it's religious persecution, that they're not letting him marry a woman. She's permitted. So the one who argued out the case on behalf of Orthodoxy was Moshe Mendelssohn, the one who's later assumed to be the founder of the Reform movement. He himself was an Orthodox person, but he had some funny ideas. So the Chasam Sofer always refers to him as Rav Moshe Dessau, because apparently he lived in the city Dessau. And they called him by the Rosh Tevis Ramad, Resh Mem Dalet Rav Moshe Dessau. So he writes, Besifre Ramad al Tishlechu Yad, that the books that were written by Mendelssohn you shouldn't read because they have apikursis. So he says, we owe him a debt of gratitude that he argued out the case in court to defend the tradition, because Beferish and Gemaris and Mishnayos like that, that a kohen is not only not allowed to marry Grusha Sachem, even Grusha Satzma also. So we owe him a debt of gratitude, but you shouldn't read his books. Mesifei Ramad, al tishluchu yad. So the Torah says that then a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. Yeah. The Gemara points out in Kiddushin, the end of Kiddushin, the kohen who marries a grusha gets malchus only if kiddush boal, only if he was mekadosh her, and then he's boal leha. But if boal below kiddushin, if the kohen lives with a grusha, but he was never mekadosh in the first place, we pass King Kedushan Atopsim B'chai B'Elabin. A Kohen is marrying a Grusha, the Kedushan Achal. He has to give her a get. He's not allowed to live with her. It's not that B'dievet, she's Muteris. If a Kohen is Mekadosh a Grusha, he has to get divorced. If a Kohen is Mekadosh, if someone is Mekadosh an Eshes Ish, someone is Mekadosh his sister or his mother, the Kedushan Anatopsim, that's because Chavi Krisis and Kedushan Topsim B'chai B'Elabin. We don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Akiva holds even Chai B'Elavin is Enki Dushin Topsin. There are three different versions of what Rabbi Akiva said. But we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We're passing Kiddushin Atopsin with Chai B'Elavin. So the Gemara says the only time there's Malkus, if a Kohen is Mekadosh Grusha, and then he lives with her, Kiddush Boal. But Boal below Kiddushin, then there's no Malkus. So the Minchas Chinuch writes on this din, the reason why there's no Malkus, because it's only an Issa de Rabbanan. The only time the Kohen violates an Issa de Raisa, the Kohen Begrusha, is Kiddush Boal. So years ago, when I was a little boy, I remember reading the Jewish press didn't exist at that time. So they used to have the Jewish opinion, some Anglo-Jewish newspaper. It wasn't Orthodox. So I remember they wrote up, there was Shofet Kohen, there was a Shofet in the Supreme Court in Eretz Yisrael, who had learned in yeshivas when he was a teenager, and then he wanted to marry a grusha, and the rabbanut wouldn't be Masada Kedushin, so he went to Cyprus, and he married her there. Cyprus is not under Israeli law. He married her there secularly, and then when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you're married already, so they let you live with your wife. Okay, so when he came to Eretz Yisrael, they interviewed him from the newspapers, and they said, but it says in the Torah, a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. So he said, this is only the rabbanim. It's not an isa deraisa, it's only the rabbanim. He remembered that from the days that he learned in the yeshiva. So it's interesting, Rav Shach has several volumes on the Rambam, Avi Ezri, the name of Rav Shach Svar. So he has long essays on the Rambam to explain the Rambam Shita. So in the volume on Sefer Noshim in the Rambam, so in addition to the long essays, he has, at the end of this Sefer, he has a very one short paragraph. that with all due respect to the Minchas Chinuch, who said that it's only an Issa the Rabbana, this is not correct. He quotes Beferish Arayas from the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs, that Kohen Begrusha, even Baal Belo Kiddushin, is also an Issa the Raisa. But you're not like it. In order to get Malkus, there has to be the Issa Bishleimus. It's like a Chatzishir. Chatzishir is we paskin osam and ator machlegs abiechen reshlokish. What if a person eats treifu food less than a kazayas? So there's a machlegs abiechen reshlokish. So the din is like Rabbi Yechon. Chatzishir is osam and ator. Just that you ain't a loike. So here also, this is like a chatzishir of the Issa. The Issa Bishleimuso is if a koya marries a grusha and then he's boal leha. Kiddush boal. But a Baal Belo Kiddushin, it's an Issa deraisa, but there's no Malkus. But it's not that it's an Issa derabbanan. So this is a shtick that some of the modern Orthodox rabbis will tell a Kohen, such a Nebuch HaRachmanis, there are a million Jewish girls, single girls, who are looking for Shidduch. The Kohen only falls in love with the Grusha. So you have to accommodate him. What do you have to accommodate him? Tell him, marry someone else. Don't marry the Grusha. So they'll advise him, go get married by the justice of the peace. Don't marry her, don't be Mekadosh, so it'll only be an Issa de Rabbanan. So first of all, they shouldn't give such advice, even if the Menchas Chinuch would be right. And secondly, the Menchas Chinuch is not right. Rav Shach wrote from the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you see that it is an Issa de Raisa, just that you ain't a loike. That's a modern shtick, that some of the modern rabbis feel it's such a Rachmanis on the Kohen. That he went through so much, he probably got divorced from his first wife, and that's why he wants to marry a grusha. So it's not a rachmanus, let him marry someone else. Anyway, so that's the first thing. A grusha is asur l'koyin. Then the pasuk is very strange. It says, isha, grusha, me isha, lo yikachu. If a woman is divorced from her husband, so the Mishnah in the last perek in Gittin raises the question, of course she's divorced from her husband. When you say the woman is a grusha, you say she's a grusha me'isha from her husband. You say she's a grusha. Of course she's from her husband. So why does the Chumash add on the word isha grusha me'isha? Mem aleph yud shin hei. Me'isha from her husband. Lo yikachu. So the Mishnah explains, let's say a man divorces his wife and he says, Hare mugureshes mimeni. I don't want to be obligated to support you anymore. But I don't allow you to marry anybody else. He makes a shear. He makes a tanai in the gerushin. He makes a shear. The get is not a complete get. Usually when you give a get, you say, you can marry anybody you want. Here he says, I'm not responsible to support you any longer. However, so that get is worthless and meaningless. It's not valid. So nonetheless, the pasuk says, "V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu." If the woman was divorced from her husband, even though he was not mata her to marry anybody else, and the get was not chal, that's called reach haget. It smells like a get. So reach haget. So now that the husband gave his wife such a get that wasn't valid, let's say the husband is a kohen, he gave his wife such a phony baloney get. So now he's not allowed to live with her. Now it's takadin deraisa. He's not allowed to live with the wife. And if he dies, you don't consider her she should be considered almana. A kohen is permitted to marry an almana. Only kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. But no kohen is allowed to marry her because that's called reach haget. The simple reading of the Mishnah sounds like this is a real drosha gemura deraisa. The Rambam writes that this whole din, Rambam quotes the din of reach haget. He says the whole din is only midrabbanan. So the Magen Mishnah writes the simple mashmois of the Mishnah and the whole sugya and gittin, the last paragraph is that it's a din deraisa, it's not a din derabbanan. So that's a machloek, is the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah. The Shagas Aryeh has an addition to the Sefer. Shagas Aryeh, who has Pilpulim, on Priyashma, on Tfilin, on different things. Yes, this is Tshuva Shagas Aryeh HaChadoshes, a thin volume. Now, sometimes they print them both together, the regular Shagas Aryeh with the Shagas Aryeh HaChadoshes. So he has a whole country, it's about Chodosh. What's the din of Chodosh? B'chutz Loretz B'zman HaZeh. He was Machmer on Chodosh, even on Bli Askelim, whenever he traveled around a lot. So whenever he traveled around, he always would bring his own pots and pans to cook his own food. He wouldn't cook the food in anybody else's pot because all the rest of the Jews were not careful about Chodesh. I remember when I was a Talmud at the yeshiva, So one of the rabbeim told us, he used to be a rebbe in yeshiva, Rabbi Rum. He said when he learned in the Mir Yeshiva in Europe, the yeshiva Mir Yeshiva was at its peak, that there were 400 talmidim. When it was the most crowded, there were 400 talmidim. There were only two who were careful with chadash. It was very hard to be nizav a chadash. Most people were mekel on the chadash story. So the Shagazariah was one of those rabbanim, Vilna Gaon. They were very makben on the chadash. So the Shagazariah has, among the other tshuvas there, in the tshuvas hachadoshas, he has a tshuva about this, where the reich haget is the reis of the rabbanim. He thinks the Magen Mishnah is right. He thinks that reich haget should be a real din derais. The question is, how many cases fall under reich haget? So in the Mishnah, you only have this one case, ishu gusha me isha. The woman was divorced from her husband. He gave her a get, haret megureshes mimeni. I'm no longer responsible to support you. Baharei iat mutaris lushum adam. But you're not allowed to marry anybody else. So the get is not valid. She's still married to the husband, but that's called the reich haget. So that's the only case that it says in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara has a discussion earlier in the Masechta, the beginning of Kol HaGet, the beginning, I think it's the second parak in Gittin. What if a get was written Shalo Lishma? What if a get was written, he has two wives with the same name, and the get was written for that wife, and not only would the get was written just for practice, Lehislameid, get was written in order to divorce a different couple, or in order to divorce my other wife, the both wives have the same name. So the Gemara says that's not a reich haget. So you get the impression from that Gemara that that's the one and only case of reich haget is isha grusha me'isha. The husband said, hare megurash es man v'hare iat menteris lushum odom. That's the only case that is called the reich haget. So the Ramah quotes a tshuvas harashba who says not so. The Ramah quotes a tshuvas harashba. We have quite a few volumes, hundreds and hundreds of tshuvas harashba. And then recently, Mosad Rav Kook printed additional tshuvas harashba. So there are many tshuvas. So the Ramah quotes the tshuvas harashba, that whatever the Chachamim recommended, l'chumra, that a get should be given, that has the status of a reich haget, and the woman is not allowed to marry a kohen. What's an example of a case where the Rabbanim would recommend a chumra, l'chumra, to give a get? So in recent years, a lot of people get married civilly, but they don't get married b'chuppah v'kiddushin. So civil marriage, it's not, he doesn't give her a ring and say, haret mekadeshesli, in the presence of two edim. He signs, he goes to the justice of the peace, and they sign a document. It's not a shtar. He doesn't give the shtar to her. The shtar has to be written l'shma. That doesn't correspond to kedusha kesef, to kedusha shtar. The no edus l'kema davar. So mikra din, you don't need a get. So this was a big discussion. There used to be a rabbi in London. He lived in Slabodka. He didn't learn in Slabodka yeshiva. There were other places in Slabodka. He learned in Slabodka, but he knew what was going on in Slabodka yeshiva. And then after, when he got smicha, he moved to London. And there were, I know a few people who were influenced by this rabbi. His name is Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Ferber. He was a rabbi in London. And he was dealing with balabatim who are not so observant. And he wanted to work with their children. At least he should have an influence on their children. So I know people who are very influenced by him. And now they're religious B'nai Torah. One of them lives here in Breuer's community. One of them I know lives in California. They're now in the process of reprinting all of this Svarim. His great-grandson, I think, learned in Kerem Yavna many years from England. So he's going to reprint all the Svarim. So this Rav Ferber put out a Sefer. He was in contact with all the different batedinim in Europe, many different batedinim in America and Europe. What do you do when you have a civil marriage? Do you need a get or not? So the overwhelming majority of the batedinim said, l'chatchile v'machmen, that you need a get. But if you just can't get a get, the husband can't find the husband, he refuses to give a get, we would permit the woman to remarry without a get, because the kedushin was not chal. Civil marriage doesn't really, mikaredin, you don't need a get. And the only two who said that you need a get mikaredin were Rav Henkin Me'America and the Ragachava. That's what he writes in his sefer. And the Dvar Abraham has a tshuva to him, the Kovner Rav. He writes, l'chvod yedidi, apparently he knew him personally, Claude Yedidi, he received the Sefer, and he writes, he tries to figure out what the Rogatchover said. Here in America, they always say this was machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Henkin. So Rav Moshe held, you don't need a get, Mikir Adin, it's only a Chum. Rav Henkin held, Mikir Adin, you need a get. But it's not, that's not really accurate. It's not a machlokes Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Henkin. Machlokes everybody and Rav Henkin. That's the way Rav Herber presents it. He corresponded with the Batidinim in Vilna and in Varsha and in all the cities in Europe. They all said the same. The only two who said you need to get Mikir Adin were the Rogatchover and Rav Henkin. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they say the Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in the Sefer on the Rambam and the Eben Ha'azel says the same as Rav Henkin. Apparently, Rav Henkin learned by him in Europe. So they said that's a significant opinion. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer is significant, but the overwhelming majority hold that it's only a get l'chur. So that's what the Ramos says. He quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba, and whenever the get was recommended by the Chachamim, whenever the Rabbanim recommended l'chur that you should give a get, so then that has the status of a re'ech ha-get. Re'ech ha-get, the din is even with the evidence, the Bishmuel points out. Bishmuel is the commentary on the side of the page in Ibn Ezra. So the Bishmuel says, not only a real re'ech ha-get, if they gave a get l'chumra, so we would say, even if she married a kohen, we would say, they have to get divorced. There was a great kohen who died around 100 years ago, Rabbi Yitzchak Peterburger, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser. He was the most outstanding student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had started the Musa movement, and he had three most outstanding students. So the one who was strongest in learning was Rabbi Yitzchak Peterburg, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser. He was a rabbi in St. Petersburg for a while. And they gave him such, the maskilim gave him such a hard time, he couldn't take it anymore, so he had to leave. So he went back to Kovna, he made the Kovel Kovna. Then the end of his life, he lived in Yerushalayim, and they had a Beis HaMusa there. Remember when I was a little boy, the pushkas where you would put money to send for the Aniyim in Yerushalayim, who used to have Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser's picture on the cover. I don't know why. His picture was always on the wrapper around the pushka. So he has tshuvas called Pri Yitzchak, very strong tshuvas. Very strong tshuvas. He does like detective work whenever he has to be Mavar, the Shita of a Rishon. So he'll look in all the Gemaras where this topic appears. He'll check all the Rashbas. In Chidush Rashba Tshuva, so he says, this Rashba doesn't exist. He said, this whole Ramah is a mistake. There is no such Tshuva as a Ramah. There is no such Tshuva as a Rashba. The Rashba and the Tshuva says Fakert, and the Rashba and the Gemara says Fakert, and there's no contradiction in the Rashbas. He said, the whole thing is a mistake. So he says, look, but the Ramah wrote it. So we'll leave it like that. The Sfardim don't observe this din at all. Get L'chumra. They don't hold for this. And the Ramah quoted incorrectly. He said he quoted this Rashba. That was the meaning for many years, so we observe it. But to go so far, like the Beis Shmuel said, that it's a rare haget, that even b'dievin, and this is teitze, that far you don't have to go. So the Taka, we had a case quite a few years ago. There was a kohen who married a woman who was civilly married, and the rabbis recommended she should get a get, so she got a get l'chumra. And then he married her. At the time that they married, they weren't observant. And then after years, he started to become observant. He started to duchen. And then people reading, then he was kosher. And then people reading by him on Shabbos. And they said, well, you're married to a grusha. Maybe you shouldn't duchen. It says in Shulchan Aruch, a kohen is married to a grusha, not supposed to duchen. So he said, okay, he'll not stop duchening. Then he realized, what do you mean stop duchening? He has to divorce his wife. If he's married to a grusha, not just enough, he should stop duchening. He has to divorce his wife. So then it became a little more serious. Not samash I love duchening. But he already, he was married with the wife for many years. They had children already. So you're going to tell him they should go get divorced. So that's, that. Even though he never had tefisas kiddushin, he wasn't really married to her. He was married by a reform rabbi, by a conservative rabbi, or maybe civilly married. But I thought that was included in the Pri Yitzchak's Kula. Rabbi Yitzchak Peterburger says he wouldn't be Mekel Chatchila that the kohen should marry this Grusha, the Re'ach HaGet of a get that was given L'chumra. He wouldn't be Mekel against the Ramah. But in this is, he would say, to that extent, we shouldn't follow the Bishmo. And this is Lo Teitzis. It was also like B'di Evid. living together for so many years, they had children. Well, they're going to tell them that all the children are chalolim the rabbanim. So say he married the woman. He made chupa v'kiddushin afterwards. Anyway, so that's the din of grusha and re'ah haget. And the mikra din, haget l'chumra, is not really a re'ah haget. That's what the Rabitzel of Peterburger writes in Pri Yitzchok. When I was a Talmud in high school, there was a prominent Talmud Chacham who was a Rebbe in the Smicha program. I passed away, Ramosha Shatskis. Ramosha Shatskis, I remember, Rav Soloveitchik delivered the Hesped when he passed away. Ramosha Shatskis was very tall and he used to go very straight, like Rav Yashiv, very tall, and he used to walk very straight. So I remember that. I remember. I never heard him speak, though. I was only in high school. I remember the Hesped in Lampert Auditorium. So so this Rav Moshe Shatskis was a stepson of Rabitzel Peterburger. So he wrote a whole kuntris, Heoris, on the Pri Yitzchok. It's called Anaf Pri Yitzchok. Yeah, because Rabitzel Peterburger's first wife, he was married to her for many years and she wasn't able to have any children. And he never brought up the issue. He didn't want to hurt her feelings. He never brought up the issue that maybe he's supposed to get divorced and marry someone else to have children. So he never brought it up. It says that Bizman Hazeh were not kaifan piribirivya, because after the Churban Bayis Sheni, a suggestion was made, maybe we should stop having children, we're just making more children that the Nazis, the Romans, will have more Jewish children to kill. So the Chachamim said that's exerish and roi vatzi b'cholam lama, but you can't make such exerish. But it sounds like we really should have made such exerish, that we shouldn't have any children. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, even though they never made such exerish. But after the Churban Bayis Sheni, we're not kaifan piribirivya. So he never brought up the issue with his wife. So after many years of marriage, she said to him, maybe you should really marry, maybe we should get divorced, you should marry someone else. So he said he never wanted to bring up the issue. But now that she mentioned that he would want to, he was paid a big salary there because he was the rabbi in St. Petersburg. They were wealthy balabatim. I don't know, maybe the government paid, I don't remember. So he set her up for life. He gave her a fortune of money. He set her up for life, and then he married a second wife who had a child from a previous marriage. He married a grusha, and that was the mother of Rav Moshe Shatskis. So he was a stepson of Rav Bitzel Peterburger. Anyway, so that's the din of a grusha. Yeah, what's a din chalutza? The Gemara said the first Mishnah in Makkos talks about ben grusha ben chalutza. If a kohen marries a grusha, all the children are chalolim. What are the word chalol? Chalol means empty space, vacuum, chalol. It means that the children are emptied out from Kedushas Kahuna, that the sons can go to the cemetery and they can marry a grusha already. They can be Matamel Mason. They don't have a din of kohen. They don't get the first aliyah. They're regular Yisraelim. They don't, maybe they have a din like a levi. That's a question. To what extent do they have a din of a levi, a cholol? That's a halachic issue. So ben grusha, so the children are all chalolim. If he has daughters, a kohen marries a grusha and they have daughters, so the daughters are chalolos. A chalolos is not allowed to marry a kohen. That's one of the prohibitions. A kohen is not allowed to marry a chalolos. What about a chalutza? So the Mishnah says ben grusha ben chalutza is also a chalol, but that's only the Gemara says in Yevamos, chalutza is only asura the kohen midirabbanan. In our Torah, only a grusha is asura. Chalutza is only midirabbanan, and therefore, then Mar points out on the Mishnah, if a kohen married a Sofik chalutza, the din is, and this is loytetzi lachatchila, he shouldn't marry a Sofik chalutza. You shouldn't say Sofik derabana lakula. But b'dyevet, if he married a Sofik chalutza, we'd be saying this is loytetzi. Yeah, it's a rare case that you have a Sofik chalutza. For many generations in the 1500s, some of the Sfardish early Sfardish achronim came up with a chiddush that it says in the book of Ezra, Sefer Ezra, when they came back at the end of the 7 years of Golos Babel, and they rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash, and they were looking for Kohanim to be makriv korbanos. So bikshu ksavim hamasyachsim v'lo matzo. All the Kohanim who wanted to be makriv korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash were searching to see if they have ksav yichas, that they should be a kohen meyuchas, because there's a din, you can only be makriv korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash if you're a kohen meyuchas. Kohani Chazoka, not allowed to be makor karbonis. So it says in Ezra, Bikshu ksavim ha-mesiachsim ha-lomot, so those who couldn't find the ksav yichas, l'go'alu min ha-kuhuna, they were rejected from kuhuna, they're not allowed to be makor karbonis. So from the 1500s, there was Fardashi Achreinim, And every generation, they carried this over till the middle 1800s, that Kohanim is Manazeh, Kohani Chazok, are just Sofik Kohanim. If you're Kohen Miyuchas, you're a Vade Kohen. If you're Kohani Chazok, it's only Sofik Kohanim. So they came up with this Einfall that just like a Kohen who married a Sofik Chalutza, but the Ebed Loi Teitze, so a Kohen who's a Sofik Kohen who married a Vade Chalutza is the same. Why should it only be a Sofik Chalutza? If she's a Vada Chalutza and he's a Sofik Kohen, it's going to be the same. And then they went one step further, that maybe it's even Mutar L'Chatchila. Kohanim is Manazeh, maybe a Mutar L'Chatchila to marry a Chalutza because they're only Sofik Kohanim. So this was the Psak HaMekubal for quite a few generations. Still, Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, who is known as one of the Chovei Beit Zion, is one of the religious Zionist Rabbonim. Kira Tzvi is a kibbutz in Eretz that was named after Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher. So he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So he wrote an open letter to Baron Rothschild that he should support the idea of building a Beis HaMikdash and we should be makor karbonos and we can solve all the problems. So he has to take care of the problems one by one. And he published this open letter to Baron Rothschild. It's called Drishas Tzion. Tzion means the Beis HaMikdash. Tzion Dorish Ein Lo. It's a pasuk in Yishayim Bechlal. The Gemara says, you see from the pasuk, the Navi is complaining, no one cares about the Beis HaMikdash. Bechlal, the Bayad Drisha, more correct, is that we should worry about the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what he called the Sefer Drishas Tzion. And then recent years, they reprinted it very nicely. So he raises the issue, we can figure out exactly where the Mizbech is, and we don't have enough Kohanim Yuchasim to run a Beis HaMikdash. We have very few. So what's with Kohani Chazoke? So he said, no, this whole thing is a mistake. From day number one, Kohani Chazoke, Avade Kohanim, they're not Sofik Kohanim, they're Vade Kohanim. It's a Chumrah Mid Rabbanan that was introduced by Ezra, that you need Kohanim Yuchasim. And he thinks the Chumrah was only introduced Heichad Efsher. If there are enough Kohanim to be Makar Karbonis without relying on Kohanim Chazoke, some of the Rabbanim, you shouldn't permit Kohanim Chazoke to be Makar of the Karbonis. But if it's simply today, we don't have enough Kohanim Yechosim, so then if we would build a Beis HaMikdash, we would permit regular Kohanim to be Makar of Karbonis today. So he sent his Sefer to Rabbi Kivega, who was his Rebbe, and he was masking with him. Then Rabbi Kivega was the father-in-law of the Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer had three wives, one after the other. So the second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kivega. It's interesting. Rabbi Kivega was 1 year older than his son-in-law. He was only 1 year older than the Chassam Sefer, and he died the year before the Chassam Sefer. They lived to the same age, and he was 1 year older. It was the second wife of the Chassam Sefer. They tell over a story that Rabbi Kivega was such a holy tzaddik that he once came to visit the Chassam Sofer after his daughter passed away. And the Chassam Sofer was already married to his third wife. And Rabbi Kivega was such a tzaddik, he didn't look at the wife and he thought that it was his daughter. He kept on referring to her as his daughter. That's what they say. I don't know if it's true. But Rabbi Kivega sent the Kuntras Drisha Tzion to the Chassam Sofer. He was also masking. So from that time on, after Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher came up with this suggestion, and Rabbi Kivega agreed, and the Chassam Sofer agreed, that Kohanim Chazok Avade Kohanim. It's not that they're Sofik Kohanim. It's only a Chumrah Mid Rabbana that was introduced by Ezra. Hechad Efsher, Hechad Aloy Efsher. Then Kohanim Chazok Avade Kohanim. So then his whole head to fill. This whole idea that Kohanim is Manazeh, Sofik Kohanim, and a Chalutz is only with the Rabbanon, so it's Sofik the Rabbanon the Kula, the whole thing is all Dvarim B'Teilim. Some also came, okay. So that's a story with Grusha and a Chalutz. A Chalutz is Asura with the Rabbanon. Let's say a Kohen marries a Chalutz and they have children. Kohen marries a Chalutz. I think Rabbi Willick Shul, he told me that he has someone in the Shul who's a Ben Chalutz. So he can't get the first aliyah because mid the rabbanon he's a chola, and he can't get the other aliyahs because ben atari he's a kain. So he can only get mafter or a hoysofa. If they call make a hoysofa, yamar achrayim. Mafter is not one of the zayin kruim. Yeah, the din is that if a kain is really a cholol, A kohen marries a grusha and they have a son, so the son is permitted to mimitami lemesim. He's permitted to marry a grusha. If a kohen marries a chalutza, the son is only a cholam in the rabban. It's not a cholam in HaTorah. So you go to chumra in both directions. The son is a kohen in HaTorah. He's not allowed to be mitami lemesim, and he's not allowed to marry a grusha. But he can't get the first aliyah either, because midirabbanan he's not a kohen. That's a shaila. 100 years ago, there were two gedolim. The Avnei Nezer died around 100 years ago. Avnei Nezer was Sochet Sheva Rebbe, great kohen. So he has a true. He had a talmid who grew up like a talmid chaver who grew up the Chelkas Yoyov, was also a chassidish Rebbe. So the Chelkas Yoyov has a tshuva about this, and the Avnei Nezer discusses it. Is a ben chalutza permitted to marry a chalutza? On the level of the Raisa, the ben chalutza is a kohen kosher, because the kohen is permitted to marry a chalutza. But on the level of the Raisa, the ben chalutza is a kohen kosher, but a kohen kosher is permitted to marry a chalutza min HaTorah. On the level of the Rabbanon, that a kohen is not allowed to marry a chalutza, but this person is a ben chalutza, so he's a cholol mid the Rabbanon. So that's called Mimanav Shach mid the Rabbanon. So that's what the Chelkas Yoyev raised the possibility. Maybe you should say Mimanav Shach mid the Rabbanon. I think if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yosef Engel has a few svarim. So in several of the svarim, all the svarim, gives you a table of contents, what the essays are going to be about. So usually when you read the title of the essay, you know what it's all about. He has one essay, Mimanav Shach mid the Rabbanon. So it's hard. So he says, read the essay and you'll understand what the topic is. This is what the topic is. If you have a situation where min HaTorah it's mutter because there is no such din. With the Rabbanon, there is a problem, but in the Rabbanon, there's a solution to the problem. The same amount of shach with the Rabbanon on the level of the, if you just ignore all the din of Rabbanon, it's mutter. If you take into consideration all the din of Rabbanon, then it's also mutter. So that's the shayla over here. On the level of the Raisa, the ben chalutza is a kohen kosher, but chalutza is muteris min HaTorah. On the level of the Rabbanon, that a chalutza asur l'kohen, but the ben chalutza is a cholom mid the Rabbanon, so it should be mutter for him to marry a chalutz. So that was the issue that the Chelkas Yoyev raised. So the Avnei Nezer writes, he thinks that it's also that not all the cases of Imanah Shach and the Rabbanon are the same. He says in this case, the Avnei Nezer has this is a repeated theme that appears in quite a few tshuvas of the Avnei Nezer. I think I once mentioned it recently. There was a Professor Schreiber who passed away, Professor Aaron Schreiber. He was a professor of law at Pace University, I think. So he was a very learned person. His son, Baruch David Schreiber, is the one who put out the 16 volumes of Neiros HaRav, the Roshes from Rav Soloveitchik. He learned in Torah Das. He didn't learn here, but he enjoyed the drushes so much, he wrote them up with footnotes, and he explains them. So his father was a very brilliant, learned individual. So his father published a whole essay about this topic that the Avnei Nezer, I think in 16 places, has an idea of a Tarta Desasri. Sometimes a person is both a Jew and a Goy at the same time, or something is both Karka and Metaltalim at the same time, or Ben Ashmash is both Yom and Laila at the same time. So here you have a Koyin. On the level of the Reis is a Koyin, Ben Achalutza. On the level of the Rabbanon, he's a Cholo. So he says that he's both. He's a Koyin and a Cholo at the same time. He's both Tarta Desasri. The Halacha recognizes such a thing as Tarta Desasri, and you treat it as if it were a Sofik. So, but it's not really, it's a different kind of a suffix. It's a suffix, he treated it as a suffix like Ben Ashmash, it's a suffix, M suffix, Lilo. He treated it as if it were a suffix. So that's why he thinks that the Ben Achalutz is not allowed to marry Achalutz. He treated it like a Tata Desasa as if he's both. But that's what to discuss. So yeah, okay, so we have the din of Grusha, when they have a din Chalutz, Re'ach Haget. Okay, Machlok is about the Raisa, the Rabbana, Haget L'chumra, is the Ramah misquoted at Shuvah Sarashba. But we wouldn't say in this estate, say. Then you have the dinim of chalutza, and kohanim is manazeh, fine. Then you have a din in the chumash, a zayna. A kohen is not allowed to marry a zayna. Who's considered a zayna? So the Mishnah in Yavama says, a zayna, a gioris, or a shivcha, a nochris, a nachris or a geiris or a shivcha or a shichra shenish tachra is considered a zayna. What else is falls under the category of a zayna? So there's a machlokes hatanai. What about a geiris and his gara plusim in bashal v'shanav yamechon? If you're a megar, let's say a couple doesn't have any children, so they want to adopt a non-Jewish baby, so they're megar, the non-Jewish baby. So let's say a geirish and his geirish, he was converted before the age of three. So the besulim developed at the age of three. So is that enough? That's based on the pasuk in Yecheskel. If nizru b'sum mizera beis Yisrael, kim besulis mizera beis Yisrael yikachisha. If Nizru Basulaha be Israel, if she was converted before the age of three, so you can't say she was Nivala le Pasal Psal. You say, why is a Nachris, why is a Shivcha considered a Zaina? Because the Shvacha is Ashtufe Zima, the Umasal Ashtufe Zima. So even if, we consider the Nachrim, the Nachris, and the Shivcha, we consider a Zaina. Even if Lai Nivala. But what if she's Nizgar Plusim Bashal Shanamecha Zain Biyasabia? Even if she tried, she couldn't have been Nivola. Even if she was Nivola, it doesn't count. Younger than the age of three, doesn't count. So that's a machlekes hatanan. We pass an Asur Lakuna. Even Nizgar Plusim Bashal Shanamecha is also Asur Lakuna. So some Achranin came up with an Einfall that's only a Chumim with the Rabbanim. The Pischei Tshuva quotes this. The Pashta says that it's not correct. The simple reading of the Gemara in Kiddushin and Yevamis sounds like it's a real din deraisa, because the Gemara talks about this machlekes hatanoim, the Geirush and Izgara Prusim in Bashal Hashanah Ve'emechad, the Shiyasu Elikun on that. The Gemara works with psukim there. Sounds like it's a machlekes on the level of deraisa, the simple pshat. So some achranim say it's only mederabanan, and since Kohanim is manazar only Safik Kohanim, so therefore a Koyim is manazar. Safik Koyim is permitted to marry a Geirush if Nizgara Prusim in Bashal Hashanah Ve'emechad. Because only the Rabbanan in Kohanim is Manazah Safik Kohanim. So that we don't hold from that heter anymore. Since the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha and the Rabbi Kibega Nechsam Sev, we assume Kohanim is Manazah Barai Kohanim. Yeah. So that heter goes down the drain. So who's included in Zoyna? So Zoyna includes a Gioris and a Shivcha Shenishtachar as a Gioris. Yeah. The Ravid has, when the Rama quotes this din, he says that a Kohen who marries of Kiddush Abal, if the Kohen is Mekadesh a Gioris and he lives with her, then he's like it. Bal below Kiddush and is ain't a like it. That's the Gemara, only Kiddush Abba. So the Ravid has a Hasoga there. He says, what do you mean? There's Malkus. If the Kohen marries a Gioris, nah, he says, Gioris has an Iser Zaina, but by definition, she isn't really a Zaina. It's like a Lapsha Bechlolus. This too is included in the Iser of Zaina. The real Issa of Zayna goes on a different case, we'll say in a minute. And the Gioris is also included. But since it's also included, it's only Torah Shabbat Peh. That's like a Chatzi Shir. It's not in the full sense a real Zayna. So the Ravid is Masik, he thinks that she has an Issa Zayna, but by definition, she really isn't a Zayna. So there shouldn't be any Malkus. Okay, but it's still an Issa there, Issa. So that's one Zayna is the Gioris or the Shivcha Shenishtachara. Who else is a Zayna? If Nivala L'Pasal L'Psola. Let's say the woman was an Eishes Ish and she was raped. She was Nensa, or she was Mizana. Let's say she was Mizana. So if an Eishes Ish Mizana, she has a Soit Asur L'Baila V'Asur L'Boil. But let's say the husband dies. The woman was Zinsa Tachal. If the husband divorced her, so he just made her into a Grusha. If the husband didn't divorce her, let's say a woman is married and she has an affair with someone else, and she doesn't get divorced. The husband dies. So do you say she's an almana? So an almana is permitted to marry a kohen. So we say no. Since the woman was mizana beratzen, that's called the zayna. An eshes ish zinta is called the zayna. So no kohen is allowed to marry her. And even if she was nensa, also we call her a zayna. Even though it wasn't her fault, she was nensa. You still can, an eshes ish an ensa, even at a single girl who is nensa. A girl was nensa by a nochri. A single girl, if a married woman was then so everybody is nivala l'pasala. Everyone is a pasala. If the girl is single, so it's only called a nivala l'pasala. If she was nivala by a goy or by an avid kanani, we don't have an avid kanani today. Lincoln freed all the slaves, says, no, more Ebeknani, but they still have Goyim around, or by Cholol, if the woman is Nivola by Cholol. Now, the din is a woman is permitted to marry a Cholol, even if the woman is a Kohenis. The Gemara says, a Kohen, a male Kohen, is not permitted to marry a Cholol, but a female Kohenis is permitted to marry a Cholol. It's at the Gomer. So why should she be Asur Le Kuhuna? A woman married a Cholol, and the husband had the Gomer, and the husband died. So you should say she's an almana, she should be allowed to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, no, if she, the Rambam learns like that. The Rambam learns like that. If nivala lecholo is nivala leposel apsola, she's considered a zayna. And what if a couple, let's say, didn't observe taras hamishpacha? A woman was married, she didn't observe taras hamishpacha, then the husband dies, so she's an almana. She didn't observe taras hamishpacha, that's an isa kares, but that's not called nivala leposel apsola. The Rambam writes, Hola Marato, Rambam writes all the dim, Hola Marato. The upshot to the story is that a Zaina doesn't depend on whether she violated an Isser, even if it's Behet HaGomer. The woman was married to a Cholol and her husband died. That's called Nivala Leposala. And if the woman violated an Isser Kares, she didn't observe Taras HaMishpacha, that's not called Nivala Leposala. The Psula is on her. She's the Nida. Only time it's called Nivala Leposala if the man is a Chalashem Psula on him. He's a Nachri. He's an Ebed Kanaini, or he's a Cholol, so then she becomes a Zayna. So that's all included in Zayna. Zayna means, let's say, a girl was raped by her brother. That's an Issa Kares, like an Eshes Ish, Shenensa, by someone else. So that's Nivala L'Pasla, Psalm. Let's say the girl is over 3 years old, and she has a brother who's over 9 years old, and they didn't realize what they were doing. Sometimes it happens, unfortunately. And the boy who's over nine, if Pach has been Teisha Shani Ve'emechad, Ein Bi'osabiyah. And if the girl is younger than 3 years old, Ein Bi'osabiyah. Well, let's say the girl is over three and the boy is over nine, and they're fooling around. They thought they were playing games, and he's Bo'al Achoso. So if he's Bo'al Achoso, that will pass on her. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. I remember once the yeshivas used to send me, this year they didn't send anybody, but they used to send me twice a year to visit all the different yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of recruitment. So I would visit all the different yeshivas. So they would give me a schedule in advance. They want me to go at 10 o'clock in the morning to this yeshiva, give a shiur on this topic. I should go to this place, give a shiur on that topic. And then one yeshiva, they told me when I should go. They didn't give me a topic. So I called up the yeshiva that morning. I said, what should I give a shiur on? So he said, give a shiur on whatever you want on the last shaila that you had before you left America. So I said, you wouldn't want to hear the last shaila that I had before I left America. A boy called me on the phone and he said he wants to get engaged to a girl. I don't know who the boy was. So I said, he was my yeshiva. So I said, Mazel Tov, that's wonderful. So he says, that's the shaila, whether he's allowed to marry her because he's a kohen. And there was a shaila whether she was nivola to a goy. So I said, the din only applies if there was mamish bia, if they kissed or they hugged or they did other things, or they were dancing together, anything other than bia does nasa, only bia. So he says, okay. Then he calls back 5 minutes later. This is around 2 hours before I'm about to leave to the airport. Calls back 2 hours later, a little later, 5 minutes later, he says, can I please give my definition? What's called bia? What's called nivola l'pasla psalm? So I gave my definition. So he said, okay, then it's a mazel tov. Then he's going to get engaged. So I said to the Rebbe from Yeshiva, you wouldn't want to hear the last shaila that I had before I left America. Unfortunately, these shailas come up all the time. What else is included in Zayna? So there's one Tana, a Reb Lazer, is of the opinion, Pana Habol Apnuya. If a single girl had an affair with a single boy once, that's called the Zayna. So the Gemara says, we don't paskin. The way we have the gears in the Gemara, some suggest maybe the others had a different gears. But the way it says in our editions of Gemara Yevamos, the Gemara says, we don't paskin like Reb Lezer, Pana Habal Apnuya, Loy Aso Zayna. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say, it's only called the Zayna if she's a Giyaris, a Nochris or a Shivcha, or a Giyaris, or a Shivcha Shenishtachara, even Pchusa Mibal Shalashan Avi Amechot, or Nivala L'Pasal L'Psala. Is a Zayna. That's all. So the Beis Shmuel says, but there's a group of Rishonim who paskin like a Tana in the Gemara, in the Mishnah in Yevamos, it doesn't have more. But the Gemara in Yevamos, in the end of Abayu Vintay, so the Gemara there quotes other Tanaim and a Braisa who say, Zayna Kipshuta. Let's say there's a girl. Every week she sleeps with a different boy. She has a prostitute. Zayne kipshuta, a girl's a prostitute. So the Beis Shmuel recommends that we should be choshish for that shita also. In the Shulchan Aruch, it's not quoted. Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba only quotes the Rambam, only Nivala Lepasa Lepsala. But the Beis Shmuel recommends that we should be choshish for that as well. Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva. What if it's not that every week she sleeps with a different boy? Let's say she has one boyfriend, for 9 months, and then she switches and she has another boyfriend for another 9 months, but she's kavua. When she's with this boyfriend, she's not married with them. She's only nevelas to him. So Rav Shlomo Kluger is mekel in such a case. That's not called the Zayne Kipshuta. Zayne Kipshuta means everything is hefka. Yeah. The Gemara has a suffix. What's the din? Akam habo al bas Yisrael, and they have a baby girl. So the girl's mother is Jewish, so she's Jewish. The girl is Jewish, but her father is a guy. That's a sfeika de din, and that's an ibay de leif shita in the Gemara. And many rishonim are machmer. Chacham Avadya apparently was mekel on that, but by Ashkenazim we're machmer on that. That means suffix, she's not permitted to marry a kohen. If the father is a nochri, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. What would be the din b'di'evit if they got married to the kohen? Would you say this is teitzei, lo teitzei? Then that's a whole discussion. But l'chatchila, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. The Gemara has a statement, and Yavam is a whole sugya. It's a little bit not so smooth. It's a little bit difficult. What if a kohen is a pitzua daka? So a pitzua daka is not allowed to marry a regular girl. He's from the psuli kohol. So the Gemara says, even though a regular kohen is not allowed to marry a geiris, but if the kohen is a psuadaka, labik dushosikoi, he doesn't have a full din of a kohen, so therefore he's permitted to marry a geiris. So would you say that just like the psuadaka kohen is permitted to marry a geiris, so too he's permitted to marry a grusha? Or not? So if I'm not mistaken, the Nesivis has a siddur that's called the Derech HaChaim siddur. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes every other page. He quotes from the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So the Derech HaChaim not only has a badinim of Psukah Dezimra and Davening and Kriyat Shema and Yalaviyava and Talamata, he has dinim about marriages also. So if I'm not mistaken, in the Derech HaChaim Siddur, he writes like that. Kohen B'tzuadak is not only Mutta B'Geiris, the King writes is Mutta B'Grusha as well. Maybe it's a machloek, because earlier Achareinim also, Rav Soloveitchik didn't think so. Rav Soloveitchik, when he learned Yavamas, he thought, it's only mutter b'geiris. He wouldn't be mutter b'grusha. One of the rabbanim, there's a big Talmud Chacham in Minneapolis. I think it's Rabbi Danny Rapp's wife's uncle. I forgot his name right now. So he has a collection of tshuvas, very nicely written. So he has quite a few tshuvas on this topic. There was a kohen who was a p'tzua daka, but it was reversible. He's a Pitzua Daka, but so it was possible to reverse his status of Pitzua Daka. And the Gemara says, Zeu Psul Achoyza Lehechshero. If you have doctors reverse the status and he's always Pitzua Daka, then he'll revert back to before. So would it be permissible? He was working on the assumption, like those Achroinim, that a claim Pitzua Daka is even permitted to marry a Grusha, not only permitted to marry a Giyor. So he wanted to know if he marries a Grusha, and then they'll undo the status of Pitzua Daka. There's another din. If someone married a woman in Mishas Kiddushin, it was Beheter. And then later on, the situation changes and it should be an Issa. So if I married a woman Beheter, then she becomes a Sait Asur Labaila, then she's Asur Labaila. But if anything else came up, like over here, the coin was a Pitzua Daka, so he was allowed to marry, he was working on the assumption, he's allowed to marry a Grusha, and then they're going to reverse the status of Pitzua Daka. So if they'll hold up that surgery, till after he marries the Grusha, maybe we'll say, Hol Bishtar Yishtar. So he has a whole tshuva. I think he came out Lahokel on that. At that time, he corresponded with many different Rabbanim, and I sent him what Rabbi Soloveitchik thought, that the whole thing was a mistake, that the kohen b'tzua daka is only muta b'giyoris, and not muta b'grusha. But there was a machlokes achronim. Okay, these are most of the issues involved in Isuri Kuhuna. Berlinetta, tomorrow, I think, is the last of the series, and we're supposed to be discussing Hilchos Avelos. Then starting from Tuesday, I will give Shiurim, I forgot, I think 10:45, I'm not sure. I think 10:45 on Perek Mokum Shenago. Good?
Rebbe?
Yes.
Is it okay if I ask Rebbe a few questions?
Sure.
When I say a few, I mean a lot, because we're finals. I haven't been able to, ask that many. But
okay. I have to give somebody a b'chin at 1 o'clock, but speak quickly.
Oh, it's at 1? Okay, so it'll be a part 2. This will be multiple.
Good. Okay.
Tomorrow, I guess. Could Rebbe please define Bitsua Daka?
Nah, it's a whole, you have to learn the Gemara. Psua Daka means he has, there are different reasons why people can't have children. If the person is unable to have children because he has a mum in the Beitzim or in the Gid, so that's called Psua Daka. So he's not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. So if he was born like that, so then he's mutter to marry a girl. But if it happened later in life, that then he's also be Israelis.
Rebbe mentioned there are certain scenarios where